As we come to worship our God this morning, it is our prayer that the Spirit of God will focus your mind and your heart, your affections entirely upon God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have met to glorify Him, to magnify Him, and through His Son to draw near to Him and to have Him draw near to us. And so it's our prayer that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon us to enable us to do that very thing. And as we try to fix our mind upon Him, I want to focus your attention upon another of His perfections this morning, the fact that God is just. God is just. Now, as with all of God's attributes, as with all of His perfections, when we say that God is just, we don't mean that God possesses justice. We don't mean that the Lord voluntarily conforms to an external standard that someone else has imposed upon Him. There is not a 10-member committee up in heaven called the Justice Committee, made up of angels and the saints who've gone before, who judge God's words and acts to determine whether or not they're just. No, God is under no moral obligation to conform Himself to any arbitrary standard imposed upon Him whatsoever. God Himself is just, and the reality is that our actions are just or unjust in light of His nature. His nature determines what justice is. For example, the Ten Commandments are not a set of arbitrary rules and regulations that God came up with or pulled out of thin air in order to impose upon sinners to make us miserable and to ruin all of our fun and all that kind of thing. No, instead, it's a transcript of His own nature. In Psalm 103, the scriptures describe the giving of the law this way. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. So His commandments are making known who He is, His character, His gracious character. And when you look at those two tables of stone, what you really see is the sandal prints of Christ Himself. That's the righteousness that you and I are dressed in, His perfect obedience to God's law. The implications of the truth that God is just are enormous. And I want to set before you three very briefly here this morning. The first is this. The fact that God is just means that He delights in truth, integrity, and equity. That is, Paul tells us to put off lying and to put on truth-telling. Why? Because God loves truth. He delights in truth and He despises falsehood and deceit and lies. In fact, the scriptures tell us that liars, those who are habitual liars, will have their part in the lake of fire. Ananias and Sapphira told what we would think of as a little white lie, but they lied to the Holy Spirit and God struck them dead for it. Because God despises any sort of lack of integrity. And that means that He loves honesty in business dealings. In Proverbs 11, verse 1, it says, "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." And speaking of equity, God cares about the oppressed. God cares about the one who is treated unjustly. Psalm 103, verse 6 says, "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." Secondly, everything God says in His Word, all His acts of old, and everything He does in His providence are right. Let's be honest. Reading the 39 books of the Old Testament can sometimes be a bloody affair. It's not easy to read the Old Testament when you have God telling His people, wipe out this entire nation and spare no one. And He even says sometimes, when you see the nursing mother in that nation and you see its infant, do not spare or pity them. You read this stuff and it's hard for our sensibilities. And it makes me thankful I'm an heir of the new covenant rather than the old. Because otherwise, I would be required as a member of the old covenant to wet my sword with blood. But when we look at those things, however much it may offend our modern sensibilities, we have to look at it and say, if God commanded it, we know it's perfectly right and just. We have to trust Him even though we can't reason it in our own minds. We need to take His word and realize we're not the judges of God. He is our judge instead. And everything He does is just and right. Even today, when we see providential things that are hard to read about, a tsunami wiping out a village or wiping out a seacoast and 30,000 people dying, or terrorists slamming a plane into the side of a building and killing thousands of people. Certainly we recognize the responsibility of those terrorists and the sin of those terrorists, and yet at the same time, these are secondary causes. God is the first cause behind all things without ever being the author or approver of sin. And so we have to trust him, and that gets down into our own lives, doesn't it? Because God takes us through hard things. He takes us through hardships in his providence. There are many difficult things that we've all faced and will face in this fallen world. And yet, to be able to say that whatever God does, he's right, and that he means it for our good. When Job had lost his belongings, he had lost his money, and had lost even his 10 children, he said, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And when his dear wife, out of the depths of her grief, told him, "Curse God and die," his response was, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In other words, I recognize that every joy or trial falls from above. It is faith in who God is, faith in his character, that allows us to say from the heart, "I know that wherever he leads me, Jesus doeth all things well." The third and obvious thing about God being just is that God must punish sinners. When God showed himself to Moses, he said this, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.'" When we think about this, of course, it leads us to the doctrine of hell. And the doctrine of eternal punishment, let's admit, is a very hard doctrine to meditate upon. John Piper once said he couldn't meditate upon hell for more than 5 minutes at a time. And I cannot blame him. To think of billions of people suffering under the fires of hell day and night forever without there ever being relief for all of eternity is a terrifying prospect. But we need to understand hell doesn't exist because God is mean, or because God is unfair, or because God is unjust. On the contrary, the reason it exists is specifically because he is just. You see, the wrath of God is just the justice of God meeting the sinfulness of man. And that is why there is a place like hell. But that leads us to think about something else. God never suspends one of his attributes in order to exercise another. All his attributes are one in him. And let's think about this fact that before we accuse God of unfairness, let's realize that he has dealt with his wrath and his justice in a specific place. And where is that place? It is in Jesus Christ and him crucified. When you meditate upon the cross, I am sure the first thing that comes to your mind is that it is the greatest display of the love of God that there's ever been in the history of man, and that is exactly what it is. But do you realize the cross is not only a display of God's love, it's also a display of God's wrath? For he poured out his wrath upon his only begotten Son and satisfied his justice by punishing him in our place. Because God can't forgive you by ceasing to be just. On the contrary, his wisdom has found a way to satisfy his justice and to quench his wrath so that he might show mercy and grace upon you. And that is by punishing his Son in our place. That's why Paul says that God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. It's interesting. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's merciful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If I was writing the Bible, that's probably what I would think I needed to write. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm thinking about my sin and confessing my sin to God, I think that the one thing I don't want him to be is just. And yet the Spirit of God moved John to write, he is faithful and he's just to forgive you for your sins. How can God be just and forgive us for our sins? You know the answer is because Jesus died for us, so that we can come and boldly proclaim to the Lord, "Here is what we have done. Here are the sins that I have committed, and I have no excuse for them. But Father, will you give your only begotten Son justice in forgiving me because he has paid my debt in full. That is the justice of God. To think about just God punishing his only begotten son so that he could show mercy to us. Now, does that not make you love him all the more? Because he was under no obligation to do that, but he chose to do so because he loves us and because he wants to glorify himself. Let's worship our just God this morning. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Our Father, we come before you thanking you that you are just. Father, Son, and Spirit, you cannot cease to be who you are. But we thank you that your wisdom has found a way to show justice, to us, while at the same time dispensing mercy to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Lord Jesus, for all the things you endured, all the sufferings that you went through in order that we might be redeemed from our sins. We pray this day that as we gather for worship, that your Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us through the merits of Jesus Christ, that our worship might be acceptable to you. Father, help us not to take for granted the fact that we have the opportunity to have your word proclaimed to us this day, to fellowship with your saints this day, and to sing praises as prayers to you this day. Help us to do so with the fullness of our hearts, overflowing with the Spirit, through the merits of Jesus Christ. And Lord, don't just meet with us. Wherever the true church is gathered in all the earth, we pray that your Spirit will be there with great power to convict sinners of their sins, to grant them new hearts, to grant them repentance and faith that they may close with Christ, and that you'll meet with your people to sanctify us and make us more like Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.